Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. Affordable housing equates to healthier families, a safe, secure setting for children, victims of domestic abuse, and people with chronic medical conditions who now sleep in doorways or in cars. I spoke with architect Stuart Emmons about those issues and how well-made, quick-to-install modular housing can accelerate the process of getting people off the streets while giving them a sense of dignity, enhanced self-esteem, and a place to call home. Well, thank you, Stuart, for joining us today on Body Language.
Thank you, Christopher. Nice to be here.
You continue to have a distinguished career as an architect. However, you also focus on several areas that relate directly to healthy housing, homes for seniors, homeless children, and adults. And you're also involved in Portland, Oregon, with remodeling schools to bring them up to current earthquake standards to make them safer and healthier for all the kids and the folks who work there. First of all, let's discuss your work with schools and health issues surrounding the construction, but also something you mentioned to me called couch surfers. What is a couch surfer?
A couch surfer, essentially homeless youth who don't have a place to call home. They don't have a bedroom, and they're a couch surfer is somebody who stays with friends on their couch for short amounts of time and then moves to another place.
Now, how did you become aware of this working with the schools?
I became aware of it through a Native American organization that has a lot of homeless youth in their high school, their special high school.
And some of these kids are also sleeping in cars, too. Is that correct?
Yeah, they could be sleeping in on the street or in cars.
You know, this all ties in to your interest in modular housing. First of all, what is modular housing? Because I know some sort of image pops into the heads of folks who are listening.
Well, modular housing, to me, 5 years ago, was essentially a very cheaply built house or a trailer or something like that. I would equate it with something that was very temporary or very poorly built. Modular, to me now, actually can be a higher quality housing and school product than what's built on site. Built in a factory, made into transportable blocks, so something that you could put on a truck or even a train, and build it in a factory and move it to a site.
You know, typically homeless housing consists of what are called SROs, single room occupancy, or some people have said standing room only, with the bathroom down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Your concept of modular housing includes a bath and toilet in every room, what you call dignity as a baseline experience. Tell us about that idea and why it's important for folks.
I worked on an SRO down in downtown Los Angeles that had just that. It was just room with bathrooms and or toilets and showers down the hallway. In Portland, Oregon, most of the time our homeless housing has bathrooms attached to the rooms. I've been concerned about unit cost. My goal is to build as many housing units as possible and get the number down so we can build, say, 2 units for every 1 unit that we used to build.
Let's talk about the basic economics of modular housing and that 2-to-1 ratio. Typically, what has modular housing cost and what is your financial goal?
So I'm really looking at dense urban areas that stack housing up to 4 or 5 stories or so. So my goal is to be at about $100,000 all in per door with land cost and all installation cost. That compares to what we're seeing now, which is over $200,000 per unit.
The governor of Oregon just announced a proposed budget that the state of Oregon, for the first time, would target a significant amount of money to help build housing for homeless families and children. That's a bit of a milestone, isn't it?
It is. I don't think we've been putting enough resources to homeless housing, and I've always been concerned that when we do put resources to homeless housing, the unit cost is fairly high, and we're not keeping up. We're not addressing the big problem.
What is the big problem?
The big problem is we have too many people on our streets, and we have too many homeless kids. I don't know how a teenage kid who's homeless can think about studying English and history and when they're worried about just having a roof over their heads or a meal to eat in the morning. So this is sort of a root issue with poverty and stopping the cycle of poverty.
You really have to reach back to the core of the problem to address these issues, don't you?
Yes. I mean, the core is, well, there, you know, obviously education is extremely important to combat poverty, but it's hard to think about education when somebody doesn't have a roof over their heads, doesn't have a place to live. And that's why I came up with a dignity word. After every day you go to a place that's a private space, you can have dignity. And dignity to me means now that you need to have a bathroom, you need to have a space that you can close the door, it's a private space, warm, safe, and dry, and you can prepare some food for yourself.
And speaking of contributing to that dignity, an organization, Habitat for Humanity, purchased a vacant lot in an area of Baltimore where nearly 40% of families live below the poverty line. They built modular housing. In fact, they built 9 row houses. And according to the article, one of the reasons they chose modular construction, for all the reasons you mentioned, of course, that it's built in a factory, is that installing houses this way reduce theft, vandalism, arson, sabotage, graffiti, and weather problems, because after the foundations were built, a crane arrived, and then a series of trucks arrived, and over a period of 2 days, all these houses were installed to a cheering crowd of people who stood outside saying, "Yes, that's my house, we're going to live there." And this whole process not only expedited getting the housing in and really engendered an enormous amount of pride and self-esteem among the folks in the neighborhood. That's really something to be proud of, isn't it?
Yes. We had the same thing here in Portland when we installed our modular affordable housing project. We had a 3-day party. The whole neighborhood came out, and we went from just a raw foundation to 9 finished units on site within 3 days. People are really very proud to see their house going up so quickly.
There are some other issues, too, behind housing for homeless individuals and families, that affordable housing can improve health outcomes by freeing up family resources for nutritious food and health care expenditures. I really hadn't considered that, but that's an enormous issue, isn't it?
It is. For instance, energy costs. People can be spending, it depends on obviously the state that they're in, the climate, but spend $100 a month or more for energy for your electric bill, for instance. And if we can put people in very energy efficient units, we could cut that in half at least, or even more. That has a huge impact on quality of life.
And here's a health issue that I really hadn't considered, that by allowing victims of domestic violence to escape abusive homes, affordable housing can lead to improvements in mental health and physical safety. That seems so obvious. Why aren't we talking about this? Well, I guess we are.
We are today. I've done 2 projects that had domestic violence people who had been through domestic violence as part of the resident mix. Just wonderful. It's very fulfilling to get people into safe housing from that. And so mental health, absolutely. And also we're seeing people in housing that's moldy and has poor indoor air quality that lead to respiratory issues.
Well, we've worked with hospitals that have partnered with city governments to go after slumlords whose substandard unhealthy housing is making asthma worse because of lead paint, dust mites, mold and mildew, rodent droppings, poor ventilation systems, rotten carpets. I mean, this is a strategy to deal with community health at the source of the problem instead of the hospital's ER acting as a body shop.
It is a big deal. If we can get people into housing with very good air quality that's, again, warm, safe, and dry, it has a tremendous impact on public health.
Tell us, Stuart, how can people learn more about you and your work?
Well, I have a website, emmonsmodular.com and emmonsdesign.com, emmonsmodular, modular.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language. You really enjoy this, don't you?
I do. Thank you, Christopher.